go verse by verse. Matter of fact, Tuesday, this church would have started 7 years ago, January the 7th, 2007. We started out as a mission church, and December the 2nd of that same year, we became an established church. So that's our homecoming, December the 2nd. But we started out as a mission on January the 7th. And just to give you a background about that, these pews, of course, were not here. This carpet was not here. This was not here. These walls were not here. All that was open. That classroom back there wasn't here. The nursery wasn't like that. Then the back, that was actually a kitchen at one time, and all kinds of kitchen stuff in there. Which is, I know that we're a Baptist, we like to eat, and we probably should have kept all that, but there was even a soft serve ice cream maker back there, and I know it's a sin to get rid of that, but we got rid of it. And anyway, and we see the addition on the back here that we've been working on, and how the Lord has really provided, and He does provide. And this should help us with the future, knowing He will continue to provide. Listen, folks, we are to follow by faith, but understand we are flesh too. We do have doubts, and we do mess up. But God's faithful. Amen. God's faithful. Well, let's look in John chapter 8 this morning. We'll read verse 37 down through verse 47, but we'll start preaching today in verse 37. But so if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. John 8, verse 37. The Bible says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the sweet Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. He gives us unction. He gives us understanding to know your word, that your word has entrance in us, dear God, and that it's not kept out. And Lord, we can learn your word and learn more about you and follow you by faith. And we ask you this morning, God, to help us today as we go through these verses, that we may grasp, that we may understand and be able to proclaim to others your truth. Thank you for loving us, that we could love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Proclaiming who we are a son of. Proclaiming who we are a son of. The word father, I looked it up in a Webster's Dictionary, 1828 edition. It is he who creates, invents, makes, or composes anything. The author, former, or contriver, a founder, director, or instructor. We all have characteristics of our fathers. If you look at one another, you can tell often and of who your father is. And we hear this a good bit. You look like your daddy. I'm going to pray for you. You look like your daddy. Lord, help us. Or you act like your daddy. And that's something else. Amen. The way we act shows who our influences are. There are features about us, there are actions about us that others see, And from that, they see the resemblance of who our Father is. This, of course, is speaking of earthly fathers, but we can also apply this spiritually, and that is what Christ did here with these Jews. Understand, these Jews are the religious crowd, and they're claiming one thing, but their actions shows another. And I know that we've been looking at this as we go through this with the Jews and with Jesus going back and forth, but as we go verse by verse, we grasp more and more of it. Look at verse 37. It says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed. He's stating a fact here. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. This seed is speaking of children and offspring, posterity. This is descendants, children and children's children. Jesus Christ is stating the fact that these Jews are the physical descendants of Abraham. Now, understand that these Jews understood the promises of God, or to Abraham, and that the world through Abraham would be blessed. They are figuring on getting to heaven simply because they are of the line of Abraham. And so they're saying here, hey, we are Abraham's children, we're in, or we're getting in. And, of course, we see this a lot today. There are times when you speak to someone concerning their spiritual condition, and they tell you of their mom, of how great a religious person that their mom is. Or they tell you about their dad and how he prays and reads his Bible. He goes to church. Or about their grandparents, or they have an uncle that's a preacher. Or an aunt who's a missionary to a foreign country somewhere. Or they talk about a brother or a sister who loves the Lord. And in essence, what they're saying is, I'm going to heaven because of my kinfolk. I'm going to heaven because of what someone else is doing. Someone who's kin to me. And that's what these Jews were saying. They were all of the posterity of Abraham. They were all the children of Abraham. Jesus Christ does not deny this. Amen. But here's a problem. Abraham is of the posterity of Adam. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Please. We're going to do a lot of flipping this morning. So y'all just bow up and let's go with it. Romans chapter 5. Look in verse 12. We know this is Christ and Adam contrasted, but let's look at this. Verse 12, wherefore as by one man, who's this one man? Adam. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. As a result of sin, there's death. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So the Bible's teaching us here that everybody that comes from the seed of man is what? A sinner. Right. David says that he was conceived in sin, shapen in sin. Look at verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. What is this death? This death is the result of sin. So everyone from Adam to Moses, death reigned. Death prevailed. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also was the free gift. For if through the offering offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Now this is made clear here now that by Adam, he sinned. And everyone that's born of the seed of man is born a sinner. Who is Christ born from the seed of the seed of? The Holy Spirit, God. Just want to touch on that. Much more, they that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Simply put, let me say this. Abraham, of the posterity of Adam, is born a sinner. Now, who's these Jews looking to? Abraham. They're saying we are Abraham's children. Therefore, we are automatically going to heaven. We're in good shape. That's what they're saying here. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and of him as a good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Abraham believed by faith. Understand that we are all saved the same way everyone has always been saved. By grace through faith. Abraham saved by the grace of God, by faith in God, in the promises of God. In Genesis chapter 12, and we're not going to go there, we see the call from God to Abraham, and Abraham followed by faith. Listen, Abraham lived in a paganistic nation. Their chief god was the god of sin, S, capital S-I-N. That's who they worshipped in the land of the earth of the Chaldees. They worshipped the god of sin, had a temple built to the god of sin, and God called Abraham out of that lifestyle. And Abraham obeyed that call by the grace of God and followed by faith. I'm simply saying this, folks, that at one time, Abraham was a lost man. And by the grace of God, God called him and God saved him. He was born in need of the Savior. And you and I are saved the same way. By grace through faith. We are not saved by works or by the church, and surely not because of who our kinfolk are. If I had to depend on my mom and dad to get me to heaven, guess what? My mama's sitting right back there. Guess where I'd be? I'd be in hell. I can't depend on them to get me there. Amen. It's their job to train me up. That's their job. It's their job to raise me in the ways of Christ and the ways of the Bible. It's their job to instill in me the words of this book right here. But they cannot save me. And neither can I get into heaven by them. There's one way to heaven, folks, and that is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. It didn't take long to see that just because someone was of Abraham, that they wasn't going to heaven. Turn to Romans chapter 9, please. Romans chapter 9, we'll read verses 1 through 16. We're going to read here about Abraham's grandchildren, two of them. Esau and Jacob. Now, this is actually his grandchildren. Now, this ain't just saying his grandchildren for, 200 years later. This is his son Isaac had twins, Esau and Jacob. Let's read about them. Verse 1 of Romans 9. And the reason I'm reading all this scripture is to keep it in context, because I don't want no one accusing me of taking something out of context. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now watch this now. Paul's writing this. Remember that Paul is a Jew. That I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. For who? My brethren. My kinsmen according to the flesh. Who's his kinsmen according to the flesh here? The Jews. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, that this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Salvation is all a working of God. In John chapter 3, we see another example. Turn to John 3, please. Very familiar passage. If you've been in the Bible very much, more than likely you've read John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. John 3, 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees. Now I want you to notice this here. A man of who? The Pharisees. To be a Pharisee, you had to be a Jew. Let me say this quickly. I'm not putting down on Jews. Okay. To be a Pharisee, you had to be a Jew. And this man, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So if he is a Jew, he is of the posterity of who? Abraham. Now he's a Pharisee. He is a religious leader. Are there Pharisees today? Oh, no doubt. We see them all over the place. We see them in Winn-Dixie. We see them in the churches. They walk around and their suits is just right, iron just right. When I say suits, their clothing. And then they look at others and say, I'm better than you. That's a Pharisee. That's not fair, you see. They're a Pharisee. Y'all catch that later. But this Pharisee here, he is of the posterity of Abraham. Now, I want you to see what Christ is fixing to tell him. He comes to Jesus in verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Watch what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Christ just told this Jew, this Israelite, this seed of Abraham, Christ just told him, you're lost, and except you be born from above, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Amen. There's no in-between place, folks. I know that breaks some people's heart, but there is no such thing as purgatory. There's no place where you go to wait to go to heaven. There's no place where you go where your family can come and pay money to get you out. Amen? I think about my mama's mama, my grandma. Back when she died, and her whole family is Catholic, and please don't take us the wrong way. Let me say it this way, bluntly, I guess. They got some throwed off beliefs. That's out of hell. I believe it was one of her aunts or sisters, somebody. One of her sisters come and said, look, don't worry about it. We know that she wasn't a good Catholic because my grandma could not stand the Catholic Church. She said, I know that she wasn't a good Catholic, but we paid money to get her out of purgatory. That is not in the Bible. Nowhere is in the Bible. There's either heaven or there's hell. There's no in-between place. So I'm simply saying that to say this. If you're not going to heaven, where are you going? Let's go back to John 8:37 before we start chasing the bunch of rabbits this morning. In John 8:37, Christ again speaking to the Jews, speaking to the religious crowds. If you remember back, he's in and out of the temple here from day to day. On the temple, these Jews, these religious crowds come to him. They try to tempt him. They try to test him. They try to get him to fall. And in verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed. But watch what he says here. But ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. We see here awful enmity. Awful enmity. Enmity is the quality of being an enemy. It is the opposite of friendship. Ill will, hatred, unfriendly dispositions, malevolence. Enmity is a fixed or rooted hatred. It is a state of constant opposition. Religion has always opposed God. Now, don't take that the wrong way. But I want to bring to remembrance, which crowd was it that was hollering, crucify Christ? It was the Pharisees. It was the Jews. It was the religious Christ. Do you see what I'm saying here? Religion. Religion can't save no one.
Right.
Amen. Christ is the only one that can save.
Amen.
But these Jews here, they have a fixed and a rooted hatred. They are in a continuous state of opposition against Christ. It's no secret that these Jews here had enmity towards Christ and that their desire was to kill Christ. To destroy him. In John 7:30, the Bible says, and they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. So here we see they was seeking to take him. Verse 1 of John 7, after these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. That's pretty plain and simple. Over in John 5:16-18, therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So listen, these Jews had a constant, fixed, rooted hatred towards Jesus Christ. They hated him. Christ didn't beat around the bush with them. He simply told them what was in their hearts. Look back in verse 37 of John 8. He tells them, but ye seek to kill me. Ye seek to kill me. Christ does know our hearts. He knows what's in it, but he also knows what ain't in it. Look at verse 37. Because my word hath no place in you. No place speaks of no entrance. My word has no entrance in you. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." John 12:48 says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." A.W. Pink had a quote I liked, so I put it in here. This is what he said. Author W. Pink says, "The man of the world gives the word no place because it is too spiritual, too holy, too searching. He is filled with his own concerns and is too busy and crowded to give the word of God a real place of attention. He has no desire for the word of God. Once the Lord saves us, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of us. He gives us unction to understand the word of God. We no longer simply gain knowledge of the word, but what we learn transforms us to be more like Christ." How many of y'all ever went and worked with your dad? Raise your hands. Amen. Whether it's around the house or at his job, whatever it is. And as you're working with your dad, what do you learn? The way he does stuff. So how do you do things? Same way. Whether it's wrong or it's right, whatever, don't matter. You're doing it that way because that's how your dad taught you to do it. How many of y'all like to hunt? And you went hunting with your dad. I did too. Amen. Some of the habits my dad had in hunting, I do not do. Because it's illegal. It's being honest. But before the Lord saved me, guess what I was doing? Those things. And it seemed prosperous. I mean, deer move a lot at night. Y'all know that? Careful. I haven't learned my lesson yet that this is being recorded. And it goes out. One day there'll be a... Mr. Oban, we have a confession that you made. You got me. Amen. And then they're going to say, "By the way, where's your dad?" Amen. It's the same way with the Word of God, is what I'm saying, folks. Right. We learn the Word of God. When we learn the Word of God, who are we learning about? Jesus Christ. Right. Our Heavenly Father. We learn these things. These things are implanted in us, and we begin to become more like who? Christ. We no longer simply just gain the knowledge, but what we learn transforms our lives. We do live in an age today where knowledge is right there. The click of a button, one simple phone call, whatever, you go to the library, however you want to do it, knowledge is all around us. We live in an information age. And if you don't believe it, ask somebody, they'll tell you about it. That's the age we live in. But we can learn a lot about the Word of God and not be nothing like Christ. But when we're saved and we learn about the Word of God, it will transform you and I to be more like Christ. Romans 12, verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So there is a transforming of us by the renewing of our mind. And what is it that is coming inside of us is constant renewing? It's the Word of God. Ephesians 5:26, here's Paul speaking about Christ and His church, that He may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. This is not a baptismal passage. It's got nothing to do with actual water. It's a cleansing passage, speaking of the cleansing agent being the Word of God. This word in Ephesians 5:26 is teaching, precept, doctrine. So what is it that is cleansing you and I? It's the doctrines of the Bible. It's the teachings of the Bible. Of course, it's in context in Scripture. We must be careful with man's opinions because, well, we know they're like armpits. Amen. Everybody's got a couple of them. They usually stink. We must be careful to stick with the Word of God. John 17:17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So Christ tells these Jews here, "My word has no entrance in you." Would you agree? Or we should know that these Jews had a great intellectual knowledge of the Word of God. Right. To be a Pharisee, you had to know the first five books of the Bible by heart. And I ain't talking about the titles of them neither. I'm talking about all the words. That was one of the requirements to be a Pharisee. These folks, they knew what the Bible said. They have grown in the knowledge. But it's obvious that they are not saved because they have enmity with Jesus Christ. The more Christ spoke, please hear me on this, the more Christ spoke, the madder they got. The way that we respond to the Word speaks much about who we are. The Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Or divination. This is a working of devils. Just stop for a second and think about how the devils respond to the Word of God. When you see Jesus teaching and preaching in the synagogue, especially early in His ministry, you'd always find a devil or a demon there, same thing, trying to disrupt what Christ was speaking of. What happened here? Now, this is how I see it, is that he's in the synagogue teaching, and all of a sudden this guy back here falls out on the floor. Goes to shaking and jumping and hooping and hollering, foaming at the mouth. What's wrong with him? Got the devil in him. What happens? He's opposing Christ. Who are you? Thou Son of God? Mocking him. What happened? That guy's been in the congregation the whole time. But now that the Word is there, and the Word's being preached, the Word's being brought forth, the Word brought out what was in that dude. Right. The devil. The devils, they rebel, they argue with the Word, they try and change it, and they hate it with a passion. And we see this with all these different religions of today that change the Word of God. They hate it with a passion. Let's bring this into perspective in our lives today. Take someone whom the Lord has not been dealing with. When I say dealing with, take someone whom the Lord has not been quickening. And try and give them the Word of God. What happens? Have you ever tried giving someone the Word of God who just did not want it? Because it's not in them? A family member somewhere? A friend? A co-worker? What happens? Well, you're casting your pearls before swine. They get angry at you, don't they? And they turn around and rend you. They want to cut you up. Amen. I can remember back as a young Christian, the Lord saved my soul whenever I was 25 years old, and I've never been the same since then. Made me different. But as a young Christian, I was very bold, very, very aggressive. That's the way the Lord made me. And by the grace of God, some of that has been taken under control, if that makes sense. I put it this way. I was so gung-ho, if that's the right terminology there, I was so aggressive that I'd bust through that door, come up in there, both guns blazing. You know, people don't like getting shot at. Have y'all ever been shot at? Amen. When you're getting shot at, you can do some strange acrobatic moves. The stuff y'all see on TVs, they get that from watching people getting shot at. Amen. Amen. I can't help but cut up a little bit. But when you go to somebody with six guns blazing, they're going to shy away from you. They don't hear what you got to say. The Bible tells us to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Use wisdom, discernment. When you look at Israel, when Israel would go out to battle, when David was leading them, what would David always do? He'd pray. Lord, how would you have us fight today? Because here's the thing. David understood that if he went out into battle and fought, and God didn't go with him, or if God didn't go before him, he's going to get whipped. He's going to lose. Same way with you and I, when we're witnessing, when we're spreading the word to others. We must be in prayer, and we must depend on the Lord to open up hearts. Listen, folks, we cannot make somebody hear the word of God. I trust that everyone here has learned that through testimonies of others, and also of yourself. If you can make people get saved, if you can make them, do you know what we'd be doing? We set a roadblock up out here on this road, amen? And we'd get them out to cars, trucks, and we would make them submit. Amen. You will. No, I ain't. But you will until you get saved today, buddy. I believe. He's up. He's good. He's in. Don't work that way. But don't you wish it did sometimes? If God does not initiate it, if God does not begin to quicken them, isn't it amazing how all of a sudden someone will start desiring to learn about God? Start desiring the Word of God? Yet they're not even saved yet. What is that? That is the quickening of God. It's God making them alive to His Word, to Him, to themselves. And He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it.
Right.
Amen. He will. God, our God, as Brother Nick preached, will follow through. A lost person can sit under the preached Word for a while and not openly be revealed to others, and yet have an enmity towards Christ. We see this with a guy named Judas Iscariot. For 3.5 years, he's with Jesus. Seen these miracles, was a part of these miracles. All these things. But over time, mark this down, the day will come when they will no longer be able to handle the Word. And they will rebel to the point that you will think they've just simply lost their minds, when in fact, what was on the inside the whole time is finally being manifested. Oh, but I know that so-and-so was saved. They had to be saved. Take them up. Listen, it's not that we're judging them. But I know they're going to throw that up in the air today. But you look at people through the Word of God. Oh, they done fell off the deep end. Could be there was always in the deep end to begin with. You'll know. Over time, you'll know. Amen. We see this manifested with Jesus, don't we? These folk, these Jews here, they hated Christ. They hated what he taught. They hated what he did. You know, when he went into that temple, there's more to that temple than just him cleansing the temple. That was a business organization. The Pharisees, these religious crowds, the high priests of the day, that money went through them. So you got Christ coming in the temple, cleansing the temple, making them a cat of nine tails or a whip, whatever it was, and getting all them dudes out of there. He just messed with their income. When you look at the Apostle Paul going to these different towns preaching, and he went, I forgot which one it was off my head right now, but the goddess Diana. And he told them, no, that's not right. And the folk started getting saved. Well, when they got saved, guess what they was doing? Getting rid of their idols. Amen? Evidence of salvation? Repentance? So they're getting rid of the idols. Guess what they're not buying? Any more idols based on the goddess Diana. So the coppersmith there, Alexander the coppersmith, got all mad. What did he do? He turned people against Paul. Amen? So on and so forth. We're almost there. Y'all hang with me. There is a notable difference in those who reject and rebel against the Word of God and those who receive and rejoice in the Word of God. Amen. Ain't you glad that we can have folk that we can associate with that are happy to have the Word of God preached, that are happy to fellowship in the Word? Ain't it great to talk to a stranger that you never met before? And you can talk about Jesus Christ, and both of y'all leave that conversation fired up and excited. You just met a brother or a sister in Christ. There is a significant difference in those who receive the Word of God and those who do not. Turn to Mark chapter 5. Amen. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Mark 5. To give you a quick up to speed on it, we'll start in verse 14. This old boy here was possessed by a legion of demons. That is thousands of demons was living inside of him. I say that's a messed up life about y'all. Christ came on shore here, and Christ cast out these demons, and they went into the hogs and killed all the hogs. The Bible called them swine, but we in Washington Parish, we didn't call them hogs, and killed all of them, drowned them. I almost want to make you cry, don't I? How many of y'all like pork chops? Fried pork chops. Amen. Hey, that's more like it. Y'all good Baptist. Look at verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled. Now, what just happened? They just saw something amazing here with the pigs. And told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. So all these folk have come out there to see what happened. Look at verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil. And also concerning the swine, said, hey, this guy was possessed. Obviously, something's happened to him because they've chained him up. They've chained him down. He's broken everything they ever put on him. And now he's clothed. By the way, he was always naked. It's amazing when someone gets saved, they start covering up. Amen. That was so free. They find him clothed. He's seated at the feet of Jesus Christ. What's he doing? He's taking in the words of Jesus. He's loving it. He don't want to get away from Christ. Oh, I'm liking it. I want to stay here. I want to feed upon the words of Jesus Christ. You'd think these folk would be happy. Look at verse 17. And they didn't ask him. to pray him to depart on the coast. I said, man, you got to go. We beg you, leave from here. We don't like this. You've messed up our world. First of all, this old boy over here, I don't know what you did to him, but he's different. And then you ruin our economy. The hog was about to go to the market. This little piggy and that little piggy. Verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil, watch this, prayed him that he might be with him. Do you see the difference there? All these saying, pray, we pray that you go. Don't stay here. And this is saying, oh, Lord, take me with you. Or I want to go with you. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said to them, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. He departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Do you see the awful enmity these over here had against Christ? These goats. They just wanted to butt him. How many of y'all ever dealt with goats? Are they hard to deal with? Can you turn your back on them? Why not? They'll look at you like, hey, buddy. Nah. And as soon as you turn around, then it makes you want to get the gun out and the filet knife. I'm fixing to handle up on this dude. What does a sheep do? A sheep is dependent. A sheep is a follower. A sheep ain't going to hurt you. The difference here, listen, folks, you got these goats who didn't want Jesus. You got this one sheep here that's saying, don't leave me. Let me go with you. I want your word. I want your word. This old boy went out and he told everybody what Christ did for him. In John chapter 6, verses 60 through 68. The Bible says that many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, and this is an hard saying, who can hear it? Christ was simply teaching that he is the bread of life. He is the only way to the Father. When Jesus knew it, knew in himself, verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What then if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that he speaks to us. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who there were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Here we see that most of these people didn't want the word of God. But there are a few who can't live without it. His true disciples. Those who truly love Jesus, they want the word of God. Give it to me. Psalm 119:10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Psalm 119:12, blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Psalms 42:1-2, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? A saved person has a desire for the Word of God. And the results of the Word of God being in you is that you have a desire to be with God. Because you believe the promises of God. Now, I know, folks, there's a lot of watered-down Christianity today. easy believism, have it your own way. Most churches ought to have a sign out by the road that says Burger King on it. Have it your way. But when someone truly loves Christ, you ain't got to make them get in the Word. Amen? You ain't got to make them. Because they'll want the Word. Give me the Word. Helps me grow. Gives me sustenance. I want it. Not only do I want it, but I want to share it with others. I want to tell others what great things Christ has done for me. Now this bad man of Gadara here, in Mark chapter 5 we saw, he lived a lifestyle like many of us lived before the Lord saved us. And we're not going to glory in sin this morning. But a wicked, wicked person. So we can say, yeah, we have a great testimony to say what great things Christ has done in us. But you don't have to live a wicked lifestyle to have a testimony. You ain't got to live a wicked lifestyle to say what great things Christ has done for you. Understand that Christ simply saving your soul is a great thing. And you and I are undeserving of that. We don't earn that. It's by the grace of God. Matthew 5 and 6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And folks, there are many, many scriptures this morning we could look at that shows us the difference between someone who loves the Lord and someone who does not. This Bible is full of it. But here's the question in closing this morning for you and I. Does the Word of God have entrance in you? Verse 31 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed." We will see as we continue going through this chapter that the lost will not accept the Word of God. Nor will they accept the fact that they are lost. They will not. They're blinded to this. Listen to what these Jews are doing. They'll hang on to their feelings, their experiences, their religion, and their works, and their kinfolk. They'll hang on to these things all the way to hell. Kicking and screaming and shouting. If you can picture that. They have an awful enmity. They hate Jesus Christ. And their actions show it. Their actions show it. Their actions show who they are a son of. And this was pretty much a foundation for the rest of these verses that we'll be looking at in this chapter. And if you go home and read the rest of this chapter, you'll see the difference there. They have a hatred for Jesus. They have a hatred for His Word. And then there are those who have a love for Jesus and love for His Word. Amen. We are thankful to be caught by His grace. To God be the glory. Let's pray. Father, we come to You again this morning. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your call to salvation. Thank You, O God, for Your mercy, Your grace, Your love. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Lord, You quicken us. You make us alive. For a dead man can do nothing. We must be made alive. And only You can do that. We ask You today, Lord, there has been no manipulation on my part. There's been no drawing on the heartstrings of people. We ask you, O God, that you would work today. And what we've heard this morning, Lord, we trust that your word will go out. Lord, you tell us that it will not return void to you. Help us tell others what great things you've done for us. Lord, we are thankful for the transformation you've made in our lives by your word, through your word. Lord, help us to stay in it. Save souls as only you can, O Lord. And use this church for your honor, for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.